The Omaheke Community Development Foundation, OCDF, is a civil society organization based in Gobabis that spearheads programs to enable and support socioeconomic growth in our communities. In 2018, OCDF started collaborating with Senegal's Trust Namibia in helping to establish a civil society alliance around nutrition. Senegal's is a global organization that seeks collaboration solutions for lasting social change in issues such as poverty and health-related challenges, and has been working in Namibia for over 12 years. The Future Civil Society Alliance will be established as part of the Global Sun Movement. Sun stands for Scaling Up Nutrition and is a vibrant movement of more than 60 countries. The following clip forms part of our efforts to respond to Namibia's crisis and to ensure that every Namibian mother, child, and family is healthy and sufficiently nourished.
A very good day to you, dear listeners. Next to me is the third Right Honorable Prime Minister of Namibia since 2005 until the 4th of December 2012. And he was the convener of NAFIN, the National Alliance of Improved Nutrition, in short, NAFIN. So we'll be mentioning NAFIN, so don't be confused when we say NAFIN. It means National Alliance for Improved Nutrition in Namibia. It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
You look healthy and young. Maybe you are still having the healthy way.
Yes, let us talk about how the Namibian Alliance for Improved Nutrition came about. Actually, this idea came about when the National Planning Commission issued the report. The report was on the Millennium Development Goals. And one of the goals was infant mortality, to reduce infant mortality in the world. Of course, in this case, in Namibia. So the National Planning Commission stated that Namibia will not be able to reach that goal because the mortality rate of infants in Namibia was just too high. I was a prime minister then, and I started asking myself, Namibia with a small population and we have high level of infant mortality, what are the causes? So I linked up with SNERGOS, which is an organization which was working with the Minister of Health, and I asked SNERGOS to really do a small survey and really find out what are the drivers of infant mortality, why children are dying before the age of 5. That's how we started. Then we found that, in fact, one of the major drivers of infant mortality in Namibia was the question of nutrition. Nutrition, take it in a broad framework. Whether you are looking at the nutrition of the mother, the child, or whether you are looking about the actual nutrition status of a child, a baby, both. And we found that children die from opportunistic diseases because their bodies could not defend them against these opportunistic diseases. It can be a cough, it can be a diarrhea, it can be something. But since the body is weak, a child dies. Then we decided now that we have to launch a campaign to make people aware of the impact of undernutrition or malnutrition on the lives of our children. We are already a small population. If we continue to lose babies simply because the feeding systems are not in place, it is not serving the country well. So we started with basic things like encouraging lactating mothers to breastfeed their babies and avoid this commercial baby food. At least for 6 months, breastfeed your baby. Then after 6 months, you can breastfeed and introduce some baby foods. Then at least a mother's milk is more stronger.
Yeah.
To maintain the nutrition status of the child. Then we had also a problem now. In fact, multiple problems with regard to expecting mothers.
Yes.
Some expecting mothers were actually anemic, meaning that they themselves were not properly fed. And there were deficiencies like iron and other micronutrients in their feeding systems. that at the end of the day, they give birth to babies with low birth rate. And that's a starting point of actual malnutrition, if a baby is born with a low birth rate. So we are also saying, let us focus on the mothers, especially expecting mothers. Then we encourage these mothers to go for antenatal clinics, so that if they are anemic, clinics can bring about some interventions to strengthen their nutrition status before they give birth, so that they can give birth to children with the right weight. Then we have a problem in the country of the adolescent mothers. Young girls who get pregnant very early in life, perhaps 16 years old, 17 years old.
Teenage pregnancies,
yeah. Yeah, and the because of the stigma, sometimes they hide their pregnancies. And it is only at the last moment when they had to give birth that they reveal that they are pregnant. So they miss out on antenatal. So some of these things are the things we are looking at. How did you come up with the name Nafin? In effect, we derived the name Nafin from an international organization called Global Alliance for Improved Nutrition. We only say Namibia Alliance for Improved But we actually took that name from an international organization, the Global Alliance for Improved Nutrition. That's where we took it from.
Mm-hmm.
And we organized ourselves. Of course, as a prime minister, you coordinated the work of the government. It was easy to do that when I was a prime minister,
mm-hmm.
because you have a coordinating role. So we were able to mobilize the government agencies. But you know that nutrition is not also being properly understood in Africa. People understand when famine, if you go to them and say that there's famine, people dying from hunger, they will understand you. But if you say that children are undernourished, when they see children running around, it's very difficult to understand.
Yes.
Yeah, so you have to do a lot of mobilization, social mobilization, and all that. So that's how we started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, yesterday when we were having a workshop with some of the parliamentarians, Honorable Limbo said you were pushing this agenda of nutrition in the parliament. Back then, were the former parliamentarians also acknowledging you that you are really pushing a very important agenda in Namibia?
Yes, we pushed that agenda. In fact, one of the things we did was to invite important people like Madame Machel, who came there and addressed the parliament. And that created a lot of awareness,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of interest on the part of the parliamentarians. But my interest in that is not only just child survival research.
Mm-hmm.
Malnutrition affects the growth of a child, especially the intellectual growth of the child. And as a teacher, I have interest in that, because sometimes we see children failing their schools and we blame them. Perhaps they are failing because their cognitive development was not properly really achieved because of the lack of good nutrition, good food, and all that kind of thing. So I have also that angle as a teacher, that I was interested in the growth of the children.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And now, okay, Nafin, what was the general objective of Nafin?
Nafin, as I said, first of all, is to promote food security in the country. So we were concerned with the Minister of Agriculture, and we were happy that they came up with things like the Green Scheme and other kind of thing. We wanted also to promote agriculture in the small scale farmers, the subsistence farmers, so that there is a resilience at the household level as far as food is concerned. We were concerned, of course, also of the nutrition security itself, meaning it is not just enough to have food. You have to have food with the right micronutrients whether you are talking about vitamins, whether you are talking about iron and the similar micronutrients which help the body to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to create that awareness. It is not just enough to have food.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the right type of food. In other words, some kind of a balanced diet.
Right.
But just imagine in our communities, you know, that's very difficult to achieve. In our communities, whether you are talking about rural areas, whether you are talking about the informal settlements in towns, people are not, don't have employment, they don't have a solid income, and all that kind of thing. So we have to galvanize, especially those who are involved in the food production, the health systems. When a person, for example, an expecting mother, is found to be anemic, that they should intervene with those type of food types to support the mother. As I said earlier, for this mother to deliver a baby, a health baby, a baby with the right weight. So those are the things we did. Then we used to have regional visits.
Mm-hmm.
We were assisted by the UNICEF, for example, to develop a map, nutrition map of Namibia, to indicate region by region what is the level of stunting,
mm-hmm.
what is the level of you know, a child not growing at the right age, all these kind of things, looking at them anemic among the expecting mothers, and tell the regions that, hey, look, we have this problem. You should step up your food production. You should also encourage things like breastfeeding, encourage mothers, expecting mothers, to go for antenatal clinics and all these kind of things. So we had very good support, mm. and the economy was also doing well those days.
Mm.
And that's why we were able to create that kind of awareness.
Who are the members of this NAFIN? Maybe three or four members of NAFIN.
You see, nutrition is everybody's business.
Mm-hmm.
We roped in not only government ministries, such as key ministries like agriculture, health, education, gender, and so forth, but we wanted also civil society to participate. That's why NAFIN became a trust.
Mm.
It was to avoid it to become a government institution. Because once it became a government institution, you exclude, you know, people like business, you exclude academia, civil society, and so forth. So we wanted to have a flexible organization which is inclusive, so that everybody's on board. That was really the thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't just make it a government institution. And the government institutions function differently. But for a thing like nutrition, you need to be flexible, and so on. So we involved everybody, literally.
Now, speaking from your own personal capacity, mm-hmm. pushing an agenda is not an easy thing. It means you have an interest or emotionally you think it's important. What made you push this agenda from the personal perspective of you?
As I said, I'm coming from the background of education.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted optimal growth of children in terms of their intellectual development, so that children should benefit from education. That's one. As a citizen, a civic citizen, I wanted to save the Namibian babies. It is my responsibility. But you have to have also a passion,
yes,
for a thing like this. Because you are doing it, it's not your mainstream work. It's something on the side. I attend these meetings in my retirement.
Mm.
I don't get sitting allowance or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just attended to as a as a civic citizen to make my small contribution.
And that's passion for
nutrition. But you must have a passion for it.
Mm.
And that is what kind of drives me and others.
That's very, very commendable, and I applaud you for that. And now moving forward, from 2010, as nothing was established,
mm-hmm.
we are now in 2019, 10 years. Mm-hmm. Perhaps, do you think there were great achievement in terms of fighting this malnutrition? And
yes, when I was a prime minister,
mm-hmm.
there was visible movements,
mm-hmm.
and the awareness building, and so forth and so forth. But of course, as a civic citizen, you don't have the same drive for people to attend meetings, especially people from government. But they still did attend. But what hit us badly is actually the economic downturn. That even if you want to carry out a small survey, like you wanted to carry out a survey of nutrition status of the son children, because we were alerted to the fact that there are high levels of malnutrition
in the San community.
In the San community, especially in the Omahika region,
mm-hmm.
and the infant mortality is so high. We wanted to carry that out, but we cannot carry that out without government support, because sometimes you have to draw blood of the children. You cannot just do it as an individual.
Yes.
You have to have the health systems to help you. And now the health systems, there's no transport, there's no fuel, there's no SNT. You can't carry out a thing like that. So the economic downturn really hit us hard in that regard.
Very much.
Yeah. So perhaps now that somebody wants to revive the Nutrition Council, perhaps government will find new interest in doing that, and I hope that the office of the Prime Minister will pick up. We are there as nothing still to give the technical backup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we want to see ourselves as some kind of a knowledge organization to fit into government policies. We don't really want to take the overall leadership now, because there's a Nutrition Council. We can collaborate, we can cooperate, we can give our input, but they should be in the driving seat if we want to move on. I suspect for now, with the excretion drought and the lower level of food production, I suspect malnutrition is likely to have gone up. That's my suspicion.
Yeah. It seems to be looking very fresh and still young compared to your ages. How do you get it right to live a nutritious and healthy lifestyle?
Well, no, I'm a farmer. So farmers, you have to be a bit fit. Otherwise, you cannot dehorn your animals. You cannot castrate them. You can't even drive them in the manga to sell them.
Uh-huh.
People are wild. So you have to be a bit fit,
uh-huh.
and that's fine. Also, I'm not. It's like when you're in government, you are under pressure.
Mm.
People are coming to you. This one is coming with this problem. This one is coming with this problem. Every time, when you go to sleep, you are thinking about how do I solve that problem? How do you know? Now you are a free man. You do what you want to do by yourself, by your own. Plans, not because you have to be in the office at 8 o'clock. If I'm in my small office at 8 o'clock, it's my own decision.
Mm.
So, and I'm not sitting there in the government offices, unending meetings, which are not solving anything. So, I can invite you to come into retirement. It's not... some people think that when you retire, you have expired.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not frefar. No.
Frefar.
Yeah. No. Retirement is just. In fact, I believe that in Africa we don't retire. You only change jobs.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now, a listener deep in ASAP, deep in Aminus, deep in Oshambinde, in Kurukambe, any final words to them?
Well, under the current circumstances, the challenges of in agriculture sector, we have to work together as farmers to see how best we can support each other and save whatever we are able to save before the next rain season. If we don't do that, then malnutrition will increase because we'll not have maere, you'll not have meat, you'll not have mahangu or whatever your staple food is, small stock. So we have to work hard to see how much we can save. Of course, we have to tighten our belts in the process. So I wish my fellow farmers in Okorukambe and other places in Omaheke all the best.
Thank you. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
That was the third, right, Honorable Prime Minister of Namibia, now retired. He reported that he's living at the farm. He's a full-time farmer now. From me, Ndunga Mshemo. Until next time, bye-bye.
Right. Ciao.